This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Sort of be in Berlin and just be like, let's just, you know, explore everything. But actually my process is really based on sort of the found image and then the drawing of that image and then sort of the creation of a sculpture inspired by that process. Uh-huh. And so that can kind of, you know, lead me to create a book, you know, or a painting. So all of those things sort of are part of the process. Often in the past, most recently I've been, it's ended up in the creation of ceramic sculptures. Last year, about a year ago, and this work was shown in the Oregon Biennial last year, was pieces created from magazines, found magazines of like the a female figure maybe, but I crumpled it. Uh-huh. And so that was very exciting for me to sort of...
That was the turning point,
that
maybe.
Was, yeah, it kind of was. Uh-huh. I mean, it felt really liberating to do that. They felt like three-dimensional collages in a lot of ways. I also think they've started to reference Dadaism a lot and surrealism more in a more direct way than my ceramic sculptures did. So very exciting. So coming out of that and then going to Berlin and you know, starting, it was a ceramic residency, so I started making ceramic sculptures, and I at, you know, one point knew I wanted to combine paper with them. Mm-hmm. So in about the middle of the process, I started to do that. Middle of the residency, it started to really happen. And so I challenged myself in that way there, just saying, okay, you know, can you do this successfully?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was a perfect place to do it because I was so intensely sort of doing my work and being in another city and being in Berlin and seeing all the art, you know, I was kind of at this, you know, peaked.
It was at a moment.
You know, so it was nice to sort of make that jump from, because I think I was afraid to combine the ceramics with the paper because I think there's a real chance that it wouldn't work. I mean,
it totally worked.
Yeah. And
Me ask you something, though. I think what I was first aware of your work was when I moved back here, I don't know, 16 years ago, whatever it was. And I remember thinking of drawings. But had you already by that time done many different kinds of mediums? That's my first question.
Yeah, I kind of had.
Then my next question would be, how were you, was it difficult or how easy was it for you to establish yourself in all those mediums? Mm. Because, you know, sometimes a gallery will say, well, you need to be known for just one thing.
Exactly. And I remember that was, especially at that time, I mean, it was really thought of like you have to come body of work and they all have to be sort of the same materials and that, but I mean that seems to be less important now, but at that time it really was. And you know, I was drawing a lot and really always loved drawing, but drawing always was a step to make
other
the sculptures. Uh-huh. Especially about the time period you're talking about, I really started to focus on sculpture. So the drawings were how I kind of understood my ideas.
Right.
And then as I did them, now the drawings often are completed sort of works of art in themselves. But I still feel like drawing is like, A, it's an exercise for me to do, but also it helps me, you know, generate ideas and understand my work. And now it's kind of getting to this very much more conceptual kind of place where how I make the marks can somehow be translated and how I combine things. It's kind of hard to describe. I see it happening, but so the drawing was always a major part, but I've only recently started showing it.
Uh-huh.
Like within the last 10 years, I've started showing the drawings, and collage has always been a part too. So the finding of the found image and going and finding images in like old books and magazines, I've always done that. The completed thing. So the completed thing used to be just like a collage.
Right.
And then I started to draw the images that I liked, that I found. And then I started to do sculptures. So I think
one thing rips off another.
I feel like I'm an object maker, mm-hmm. whether that's a drawing done on a found piece of paper or like a collage or now three-dimensional, you know, collages and sculptures. They all feel like they exist in the world in this very kind of, specific way, different from a painting.
So the sculptures that we're seeing at PDX that have a photo attached, right? Or a found photo attached.
Yeah.
I'd like to know first, what what comes first? Does the sculpture come first and then the photo, or how is that happening?
Well, that was sort of what made me so nervous in trying to combine them, is how would I make the sculpture having the photo in mind? And I didn't. I just kind of had all these photos that I had found in Germany, so they looked very German to me. And
that was fun, right?
That was
being
great.
A baby boomer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Growing up in post-war. I mean, that's how
the whole thing, yeah. It was very exciting to go to. I did find a few little flea markets where I could find these old sort of images to use. So I had those all kind of around me up in my studio, and then I was making these sculptures, and then it just kind of happened really very spontaneous and kind of a little bit of magic. I feel like you do collage, you know how every once in a while those moments of magic. Yeah. I mean, and so that happened with these. And so it's like I had to have all the work around, but then they really did, you know, find each other. And that felt really, you know, good when that started to happen, because one piece I did make knowing I would put the drawing. There's a piece of a woman laying down that has a drawing is the paper element. And that one I knew I was going to add something. It might have been a found. So I left part of the figure gone so I could add something. I didn't know what I would add. So that was a little bit the most I kind of prepared.
Right.
Preparation in the ceramics, making of the ceramics.
Well, one piece that I find very, very satisfying is Frau.
Yeah.
And I guess one reason I do is that because, you know, those images of people back in those times.
Yes.
We can talk about it from so many different ways, whether it's our history classes or our art history classes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It really pulls at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were able to just nail it.
I know. That one was pretty. I mean, that really was. I mean, because I didn't make. It's a piece where there's a bust of a young person, a child, and then on the front of it there's an image that I found in a book of a very German looking face of a woman, and I put the face on the sculpture via the nose, so it's held on by the nose, just so people kind of get some idea. And yeah, so that really was like one of those cases where I'd made the bust and I was like, I knew I was going to do something to it.
Yes.
That was the intent in making the bust. And then that image was hanging on the wall. And I was just like, oh my God, that's the perfect shape. And then the nose thing, I think I've just seen a lot of sculptures that where the nose is kind of cut off in the museums. And
perfect.
I was going to a lot of museums where I was looking at those things. So I just kind of was like, huh, that's sort of odd. Like, what if I kind of reverse that? And
the nose survives.
Yeah, it just works. It holds on so well. So then I sort of knew, I mean, at that point I knew sort of that it was right. And then, you know, it looks so, it's so funny. People really respond to that one.
Oh, it's amazing.
It was, and I feel like I'm not, I mean, that was sort of felt like a one trick pony, you know, it's like that.
You don't want to keep doing it?
No, I'm not
going to
do more. I know, it's very tempting. I'm like, I might do a few more. I don't know. I mean, it kind of feels like once it's done, why should I do it again with that idea? But the combination of the two sort of worlds, you know, I am going to continue with.
That'd be very nice. Do you find that there are images of, or issues of, like, you had to ship all these things?
Yeah.
I mean, they're two fragile things, sculpture and paper. I would imagine that they were separate when you sent them.
Yeah.
You know what
actually,
I'm saying?
I did separate, and then I knew
assembled
that,
here in
yeah,
the
yeah.
States.
Actually, they're actually, many of the pieces are three parts, and I actually just was able to separate them and send them home individually and put the paper back on here. So that was successful. I mean, double boxing is sort of an amazing way to ship stuff.
What do you mean by that, double boxing?
You double box it. You wrap it in bubble wrap, put it in one box, and then put it in another box.
Oh, interesting.
It's really, it's a great way to ship things. And so everything made it. I mean, the box probably wouldn't have gotten much further. There were two boxes, and they were kind of roughed up, but I was relieved when they arrived.
When they arrived.
For sure, but...
So there's also, you know, there's a grid portrait called Kinder.
Right. Kinder.
Kinder.
Yeah, that means a child.
Child, yeah, yes. Children, sure.
Kindergarten.
Ich habe zwei, I took a couple years of German.
I don't speak any, but so, I know that one.
So I love that, and I saw many things. I saw a million things in that, but what?
Yeah,
tell
Kinder,
us about it.
Kinder was, I mean, like I said, I was looking for images that while I was in Berlin, and I a couple weeks into the residency went to a bookstore and stumbled upon two really incredible books for me. Like they're kind of my favorite books now. And it was, one was a book on children's theater published in the 40s, and the other was an exercise book for children. So both those things I look at all the time. Here I have, you know, I think you did drawings out of that, right? Yeah, I did. So yeah. Those children are children wearing costumes that from the theater book that I did using a really big paintbrush. I found it's just this huge sort of very cheap paintbrush in the store there, and they're all done with that one large brush. So the work seems very spontaneous and aggressive, but successful. It was exciting for me to draw that way because I couldn't get really detailed with it.
Yes, and you are someone who could draw tight.
I can if I want to. Yeah. So that was exciting. The series of them, nine together and a grid, worked the best for showing them. And that's actually one piece that didn't get shown in Berlin, but I brought it back.
And what does that mean for you, though? What does kids mean for you?
Oh, yeah. I often use children in my work.
And why?
I think they're a good vehicles for what I'm saying, I guess. Uh-huh. I mean, I will use adults. I find I use adults a little more often now. Yeah, I mean, that's about as much as I've kind of been able to come up with without overanalyzing it. If I overanalyze it, I'll probably stop doing it.
Yes.
Or
if you explain too much, then you don't do it.
Yeah, I won't do it. But it's, I do know that, like, I do feel like they are the perfect sort of, you know, actors for what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. They're innocent, you know. And I also always use old images as inspiration. Rarely do I use contemporary images. So that's another thing. When I feel like I'm trying to create some type of, I don't know, a world that relates to our contemporary world but isn't talking about our contemporary, you know, I'm talking more about universal issues, I hope.
Yeah.
You know? So that's about the most I've come up with as far as that, because it is.
It makes sense to me. Yeah. As an artist, I do the same thing.
There's a reference.
It's more iconographic, I think, if you're using the past a little bit.
I think so. And I think, because I do feel like I don't want the issues to be about, I mean, I want them to be about our lives now, but I don't want it. I don't know.
You don't want to settle. If you settle on pop images of today, it's way too much attached to the advertising or that person.
And I think people do that really well. But I'm much more comfortable using sort of. And a lot of times when the piece is finished, you can't tell that the original was an old image.
Yeah.
But there's something about it.
It's one remove away.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So
listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. If you want more information about this radio show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus, and you can see links to my guests and past interviews. I've been here for about 3 or 4 years. I share this show with Joseph Gallivan now. He is co-hosting with me every other week, and it's been great. I have with me today Cynthia Lottie. She's got a show called Elsewhere that's at PDX Contemporary Art right now.
Yeah, it's up till June 1st, so Saturday.
Oh, We still have some time with it.
Yeah.
So, before I get to the books, there's this, what you were just saying now kind of hit it for me when you're talking about just this, smooth remove from the past. In a way, to me, by having it as you've done it, it definitely reeks of Dada as opposed to pop.
Right.
And that's where you're rooted, right? I mean, Dada is a big thing.
Yeah, but I think pop as well, but I feel like I'm more, like right now I'm looking at a lot more Dada stuff than pop. I have always loved the pop artists. I mean, there's something about how they, you know, make objects into icons is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a part of my world too, but the Dadaists right now, I am.
And were you able to see any of that stuff in Germany?
I mean, not as much as I thought I would. I mean, I happened to come when there wasn't a Dada show up.
Right.
But I did see some Hannah Hawk, a collage artist who I've always adored, just to see her work and the reel was pretty incredible. So not so much of that.
But you
stuff
saw a
there,
lot of ancient art when you were there.
I did. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mostly my favorite museums really were the sculpture museums, and they have like four of them.
They've got a lot. Yes.
Completely filled with, you know, European sculpture, and they also have an Egyptian museum and a Greek museum.
Nefertiti's there.
Yeah, Nefertiti's there.
And those big gates, and the Assyrian gates are there.
Yeah,
those
are there.
Nineveh.
I think for me, seeing sculpture was such a wide range and such a high quality sculpture was really exciting, and presented in really incredible museums. Most of the museums since the fall of the wall have been renovated. It's been enough time, so the state has recently just finished renovating them all. So they're quite amazing, just as places.
You have in your exhibition, I believe, three artist books. And two are, multiples. Like you can go and buy one, and then
you
can buy them all.
please do.
So, but I have a question. Well, I want to ask you about the books, but I also want to ask you, were you someone who always made books or made fanzines?
Actually,
did you make fanzines back in the day? Because
I found one I made in high school. But
okay.
I mean,
yeah, it's good.
A lot of David Bowie pictures.
Really?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Do you still have that?
I think I do, and I do think it'd be funny to reprinted. It was it was funny. I've always made books. I've always altered books. And just because my source materials come from books and magazines.
Yeah.
And I had
a
job in college where I repaired books. So I learned about how books were made.
Ooh.
I'd take them apart and fix them and put them back together.
Wow.
It was pretty great. It was just part of work study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was cool. So, so I've always made books. I'm kind of really getting back into it. I hadn't made any for 4 or 5 years, but then in the last year I've made I made the Berlin ones and then a couple here as well.
So let's talk to me about them. What's the Berlin one?
It
looks like a fanzine to me.
Yeah, that one is images from my studio wall that I isolated, and so the
such
images,
great pictures.
Yeah, the images. Oh. I'm glad you. Yeah,
that's the postcard, right?
Yeah, that's
the postcard.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that.
So I found those isolated images became their own kind of collages, and so I made I Xeroxed them and made them into a book, and then the other one is Kinder, which is I used the images of the children from the theater book and then crumpled them up, similar to what I had, some of the pieces I'd done for the biennial where I, made sculptures out of crinkled paper, but then I flattened them.
Mm-hmm.
So the faces are all really distorted. So then I took those and each of them has a page in a small zine. And then the third one was a found book about a children's book from East Germany, printed in East Germany, and then I added collage through it of women doing exercises from a film I found online. I captured the images and then cut them out and had them sort of put them on top of the book that's about the streets of Berlin or something. So, yeah.
You were just talking about these sculptures that you made with the crumpled paper.
Yeah.
So when I saw those at the biennial, I was just blown away by them. I mean, they were my favorite thing. I mean, they just really are remarkable. How did you come across that?
I mean, it almost seems like a discovery. Yeah, it really was. I mean, I do remember sort of, I was, kind of wanting to make, I was looking at a lot of masks and costumes and, sort of wanting to make something like that. So I had a bunch of faces that I'd found in magazines that I'd pulled out of magazines. And so they were around the studio. And then I must have started, I can't remember specifically what I did, but I remember at one point there was a crumpled, I had crumpled something up that didn't work. And then I had saw the face in it. And I was like, oh wow. So it really was one of those moments where you're like, oh, there's the face still there. You can still see the face and it kind of becomes this head. So that really was kind of eureka kind of moment. I think the other pieces kind of just grew from that, where I was like, oh, if I crumple the head, let's see what happens if I crumple a whole figure and make that, some of the parts are recognizable and some aren't. They almost become cubist, really.
They
in
do.
Some way.
It's actually
distortion where
it's touching on many things.
Yeah, I like how you have to kind of discover the parts of the figure in the piece because the wrinkles hide a lot, and then you look at it and then you start to see what the original might have been or the small details. So those are so fun to make too.
While you're here, I want to just ask you, this is a past exhibition, Nurse.
Yeah, Nurse.
That show blew me away. Now, why?
Oh,
how did you do that? And why Nurse?
Well, I don't have
a lot of time here, but tell me why.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
What does that mean?
And the nurses were all, of course, not contemporary-looking nurses, but old nurses in their, you know, the old nurse outfits, which
was this
are
your
so
childhood?
Incredible. It's funny because I have always collected images of nurses. I have nurse, like if
really?
I stumble upon nurses in magazines or medical, I have a whole little medical area in my bookcase, you know, so it's not like the whole, so in a way I returned to that, but in a more kinder way, uh-huh. I guess, in that I made the nurses, which are the sort of caretakers of the sick in a way. So, I was just fascinated
with
that.
What did you think about Richard Prince?
I love his
nurses.
Yeah, those nurses are good. I mean, he nailed it.
I can't help but ask you. I mean,
he nailed it. Those are great, particularly because they're book, you know, they're based on those book covers, which I love that type of sort of imagery and, you know, just
nice.
I feel like that's, yeah, that is high art, really, those covers. And he just kind of points at it and says, look. But yeah, I love those. I mean, I just feel like the nurse is an icon, is a real icon.
Sure it is.
And yeah. You know.
So getting back to Berlin a little bit. All right. So the postcard image for the exhibition is your wall in your studio, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And which is just... I mean,
it just happened. I mean, it started really slowly. Like I was like, oh, these, you know, and then I just
kept going. It became its own collage.
Yeah, it does. And it is, in a way, it is how I really work and think in my, to helps me. I'll forget ideas unless I put them on the wall. Like if I find an image, I might. So if I put it on the wall, if it's something I'm really excited about, thinking about, it's like I know writers organize their thoughts with little post-its or whatever, graphs or whatever. It's a similar type of thing where I put the stuff on the wall and then it generates ideas. It helps me.
To,
sometimes things just randomly line up, or I start to notice relationships between things, and I think, oh, that's, you know, I might want to do something with that. So I stare at my wall quite a bit in the studio.
Yeah.
And it works, you know. So that the image on the card of Berlin is really, you know, it's at its finest moment there, and then I started taking things down and using them more. I mean, you can see the image from the Frau was not up there.
It's the Frau was up
there.
So how did you feel about Berlin as an artist place or whatever?
Berlin is, I love being there. It was very exciting. I spent most of my sort of time at museums and in the studio, really. But it's a pretty exciting city. I mean, it's a very heavy city. Its history is very present. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was kind of amazing to be in such a city coming from Portland,
right?
Which does not have very much history of, you know.
So there's the big comparison right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and,
otherwise.
And, yeah, you know, so I felt like they're very aggressive about the work they have there and the art they make, you know.
Oh.
If that was very exciting. And I did see a lot of parallels to some Portland sort of artists and movements that have happened here. So that was interesting to see too.
Uh-huh.
And I've always looked at German art.
It's not like we're out of it or anything like that.
Well, I mean, mostly just in like the psychological intensity that can occur. You know, I see that in some Portland artists' work, and as well as Berlin artists, you know, definitely have that. That was nice, and that's probably why I've always looked at German artists, is because it had that. But
it
to be in that place, you know, it's a pretty intense place.
How long
place.
Were you there?
I was there 11 weeks. So.
Long time, really.
Yeah. I mean, I was happy to come home, but I really enjoyed being there. You know, I miss being there, but
So the only thing we haven't really talked about are the drawings that you, or the paintings that you made.
Oh, yeah.
Of your Berlin walks.
My landscapes.
Was that your...
the first time I've shown landscapes. And,
right.
And
so
really,
how does that
feel? It felt really good because I felt like I really captured Berlin, and that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I captured its sort of darkness. And
it's almost foresty.
Like, yeah, it's very... they're all the parks. They're parks and graveyards, mostly parks. And yeah, they were really... Berlin has a depth to its shadows, I guess, that I was really excited by. And also the parks are not really kept up very well. And so they were very jungle-like. Yeah. So it was interesting to draw that. But I was happy with the results of those. And I'm continuing to draw landscapes. It's great to come back here because, of course, we have
it here.
Most amazing venues to
draw
in. Yeah.
And also the drawings to me are just kind of like, in one way, a very straight-ahead record of what you did there. Because you're also, I mean, I saw Germany there a lot in your show. So it's indirectly and it's there directly.
Yeah.
It's really you cover
kind
of
gamut. When I unpacked the boxes and looked at the pieces, I mean, I hadn't really realized how infused with Berlin they were. But I took them out and I thought, oh, man, I would never make this here.
Right.
Like, even like there were a couple of vases. Like, even looking at those, I was like, man, I don't know what it is. But there was something about being there that you just, which is great, which is why you go to other places, why I like to go to other places.
Well, I'm going to have to wrap this up, Cynthia.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it.
I've had Cynthia Lotti with me. She has Elsewhere, which is at PDX Contemporary Art right now. It closes June 1st. Sculptures, paintings, books, portraits, really excellent show. I'll be gone next week. Joseph Gallivan will be interviewing. And then the week after, which I believe is the 18th. I believe it's the 18th, I will have Heidi Kirkpatrick with me. So that'll be a really great interview as well. My name is Ava Lake. Thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. I'll be talking with you in a couple weeks.
Particles on the Wall.
An exploration of the effects of nuclear technology on the Pacific Northwest and the world.
Particles. On the Wall.
An exhibit of art, literary works, science, and historical memorabilia that describes the human and environmental impact of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Particles on the Wall.
May 3rd through June 14th, second floor gallery in the EcoTrust building.
Particles on the Wall.
Co-sponsored by Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility and KBOO Community Radio.
Particles on the Wall.
Information can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
And now the KBOO News at Noon. The Oregon Board of Higher Education has approved tuition hikes of up to 5% for Oregon's public universities next year. The tuition hikes will be reviewed this coming June and will likely be given final approval this time next month. University officials say higher costs for health and retirement and declining state support are the cause of price increases. Oregon's decision to raise college tuition prices comes in the midst of a national debate in Congress over federal student loan interest rates, which may double from 3.4 to 6.8%. Student debt is now the highest form of debt, totaling even more than consumer credit card debt in the United States. Environmental groups have launched a campaign challenging the burning of U.S. trees to provide electricity in the U.K. Currently, trees from swampland in the southern U.S. are being felled and exported to the U.K. for wood burning in power stations. The tree farming trade is Europe's effort to meet the EU's rule to cut carbon emissions in an effort to combat climate change. But environmentalists say subsidizing wood burning is a wasteful short-term solution and are concerned about the depleting natural forests in the south that are being overtaken by tree plantations. This massive deforestation will reduce the amount of carbon American forests will be able to absorb, greatly reducing our ability to combat climate change. Today is World Play Day, according to Children's Advocates, and children in Johannesburg, South Africa, celebrated in two centers run by Cotlands, a nonprofit organization. This is the 14th year World Play Day has been celebrated. It was started by the International Toy Library Association. Cotlands works to improve early childhood development in South Africa and partners with individuals and daycares that have no access to play centers. According to a 2010 household survey, just 32% of children under 5 in South Africa have access to early childhood development programs. The Beaverton School District is working to place current teachers more effectively as it makes way for 151 additional teachers in the next year. The district will use the information it has on file to place teachers in grades and subjects according to their interest, though it is making no promises for perfect placements. The Beaverton School District's Chief Human Resources Officer says the goal is that teachers will know their tentative placement for next year before they leave for the summer. That's it for the KBOO News at Noon. Tune in every weekday at 5 p.m. for more local, national, and international news produced by volunteer reporters right here in our Portland studios. For KBOO News, I'm Desiree Garcia.